This is Nighttime at Noon on Fox Sports Las Vegas.
At 12 o'clock in the Valley, this is Monday, September 30th, 2024, and this is Nighttime at Noon on Fox Sports Las Vegas. Hello again, everybody. Dan Duva, Gary Lawless with you from Studio 31 here in downtown Summerlin. We are back. It is the start of Season 8, our first episode of Nighttime at Noon every Monday here on the flagship station of the Vegas Golden Knights Radio Network, Fox Sports Las Vegas, 12 to 1 every Monday, and with special guests, including today, Bruce Cassidy, coming up in just about 15 minutes. Gary Lawless, how are you?
Fantastic. You can tell that it's chilly inside because you have a sweater on. Yeah. I have a jacket on. I almost never have a jacket on.
Yeah.
They keep it chilly here at City National Arena.
They got to keep the ice in pristine shape, after all.
Okay.
I assume that's the reason. Otherwise, yeah, we'd be showing up in t-shirts and shorts and flip-flops inside. No, it is.
I don't know about that either.
I guess probably not for the broadcast, but we are here nonetheless, and we are halfway through training camp, three games down, three games to go. The team had a bonding trip over the weekend. They are back on the ice later this afternoon here at City National Arena. Expect that to be at 2:30 today. Then three more tune-ups. Colorado on the road. That's tomorrow. Colorado at home on Thursday, and then San Jose here on Saturday, and that'll be it for the preseason. Of course, the opener is October the 9th at home against the Colorado Avalanche. Gary, halfway through training camp, your first big takeaways, what we have seen so far, three games down and three games to go.
Well, I think there's a number of things, in terms of performances, like Jack Eichel, it took him about a period and a half to kind of become Jack Eichel again. Like the cape was, the Superman cape was at the dry cleaners.
Yeah.
Didn't get delivered until the first intermission. But once he put it on, he just started backing people up. He started to use his legs to really put people in awkward positions. And then, he's heavy on the puck. He's smart with it. He's got a good shot. All of a sudden, he scores, then two assists, 3 points in one game, and I would imagine Jack won't be playing in Denver tomorrow night, and then we'll play in one or both of the games Thursday or Saturday here because he looks ready.
Yeah.
He doesn't need a lot. He doesn't need much more. Alex Pietrangelo, he has told us a couple of times that, we know he was injured a number of times last season. And since then, whatever happened to him over the off season in terms of his training or whether anything was fixed, whatever, he was moving really well. He looked like a different guy. And then I think the storyline for me that is the most fun is the two Tanners. Tanner Lozinski, he's on a one-way contract, 2 years at $775,000. That's the league minimum. And Tanner Pearson is in camp on a tryout. Lozinski is tied with Eichel with 3 points. Now, Lozinski has played in all three games, and Jack's played in one. But still, given the point a game, sign me up. And Pearson has 2 points now through three games and leads the team with a plus four. Both of these guys have been excellent, and Pearson's on a PTO. The team will have to decide whether or not they want to offer him a contract and whether or not they can come to terms. It's not so easy as just the team offers and the player takes it. Just ask Cam Neely.
I knew you were going to get to that. For those who don't know, you want to quickly sidebar on what Cam Neely said?
Well, no, we'll let you stick around, and when we do our, we're going to do this segment, then we're going to have Bruce Cassidy.
Okay.
And then we're going to do Around the NHL, and we'll talk about.
That's a tease,
we'll
folks.
We'll talk about Cam's comments.
What's going on in Boston? That's
earlier,
a tease.
Earlier today. Also,
I like that.
The NHL Board of Governors are meeting today.
Yep.
In New York City, and among the news items from that will be, there'll be an update on the sale of the Tampa Bay Lightning, anywhere from $1.8 billion to $2 billion is the price tag on that one. Robin Leonard and his contract are that's on the agenda. What the NHL is going to do for the Columbus Blue Jackets and their salary cap situation after the tragic death of Johnny Gaudreau. That's another item that will be discussed. So I don't expect expansion to be on the agenda, and I don't expect us to have any information on any of that by the end of the show, but just that's something you can look for in the news later today or in the coming days, and maybe tomorrow night when Dan and I are doing the game in Denver. If you want to have a Golden Knights broadcast perspective tomorrow night, Dan and I will travel with the team to Denver, and we'll do the game on the radio right here where you're listening right now. And if you really need the pictures, which you don't when Dan's doing the game, you could watch the game on TNT, but you'd be better off right here.
You could. Well, thanks, Gary. Appreciate that.
Hopefully our friends Kenny, Eddie, and Brian aren't listening to this show.
So, you know, you don't think they'd be offended if you suggested that people turn the sound down on their televisions and turn up their radios?
I would never suggest that.
No. Okay. Just wanted to be clear. Now, first off, when I ask your takeaways through camp, there have been 9 periods of hockey. Yeah. The Golden Knights have won 2 of their 3 games. The fact that Jack Eichel stood out in the last, say, period and a half of the 9 periods, right, that is such a significant point, and it ought to be. I'm in agreement, partly because you've got a question mark as to who's going to be on his right wing after he had been with Jonathan Marchessault. Victor Olofsson, a familiar face for Jack, together in the Buffalo Sabres organization. Olofsson comes in, and based on what you hope to see in their first actual game together versus what happened, your thoughts there?
Well, everything but the puck going in the net. Like, Olofsson was full measure. He had 6 attempts, 3 shots on goal. I had him with 5 scoring chances. There were 5 times when he had the puck in a scoring area, and he got it directed at the net and just didn't go in. Which will change, I think, over time. We discussed it during the radio broadcast that night. The guy that used to play on Eichel's right wing, Jonathan Marchessault, who signed a contract with the Nashville Predators and left, if he had 6 attempts in a game, you and I were like, we would say, you know, basically, he's like an archer, and he's getting closer and closer to the bullseye, and the next one's going to go in, or sooner or later they're going to go in. I got the exact same feeling from Olofsson.
Mm-hmm.
If there had been 5 more minutes a game and he had got one more chance, it probably that one's the one that was going to go in. So if I was Bruce Cassidy, I would have been really encouraged by what I saw.
Let me add to that. First off, Olofsson registered 3 shots on goal in the game. But secondly, one of, if not the more impressive plays that he made was what would have been the 3rd assist on the goal scored by Ivan Barbashev.
Yeah.
You only give 2 assists in the National Hockey League, so Barbashev scored from Eichel, from Theodore, but it was the saucer pass, low to high, bottom of the right circle, by Olofsson, up top to Theodore. That was, and we had a great angle on it, our great production crew from the Vegas Golden Knights had a terrific angle shooting right towards the blue line, and you could see the puck go airborne right to the stick of Theodore. It was beautiful.
Well, we talk about the 3rd assist all the time, and you know what? Little sidebar here.
Yeah.
Like, I get it that in the National Hockey League, we have off-ice officials, and they track the scoring play as first assist is the last guy to touch the puck before the goal scorer, and then the second assist is the next one. Well, what if the best play is like a defenseman going behind his net, getting the puck, looking up, great pass up ice, and then there are 2 more passes?
Yeah.
Shouldn't we have some discretion?
Yeah, score is discretion.
Like to me, this is, you know, I've never thought of this until right now, because I say to you on the radio all the time, you know, if there was a 3rd assist, Braden McNabb's play.
Sure. Oh, my gosh.
To rub out the guy in the own zone, grab the puck, and then headman it up to Theodore, who then makes a great pass to Eichel. Eichel goes in and scores. Actually, there's got to be 1 more pass in there.
We get your idea. Yeah. Agents around the NHL are just cheering right now very loudly.
Well,
what
you're suggesting. That's why statistics, like this is the great example of why statistics only tell one part of the picture.
Yeah, that's right.
That's why it's so important to be in the building and watch. That's why you can't do a game off a monitor.
Yeah.
Because, you might not see that play. That might not be on the monitor, and you'll have missed it, and then you're missing a huge component like Olofsson's pass to Theodore that got that whole thing started.
Yeah, and Olofsson, Eichel, and Barbashev, the line together that has been talked about through camp, they had been practicing together. It was their first time actually playing together.
You just mentioned Barbashev. So all these observers of the Golden Knights from... You know, I was listening to NHL Network on the radio in the car the other day, and they're like, Vegas is going to have a price to pay. The credit card bill is coming due.
Uh-oh.
Okay.
What's the interest rate?
But you used the credit card to buy the big screen TV that sits in your house, and you watch it every day. Well, that's Ivan Barbashev. He's the big screen TV. They traded Zach Dean to the St. Louis Blues. Barbashev, I don't have the numbers in front of me, but it basically, he's like three quarters of a point a game since he got here. Almost a point a game in the Stanley Cup run. He was really good that year. Mm-hmm. 20 goals last year. Zach Dean has barely played in the NHL yet. And so it's an unfair comparison because if you look at it right now, Vegas won the trade in a landslide. Well, give Zach Dean some time, The way it was described to me at the time was, Zach Dean is going to be Ivan Barbashev in 4 or 5 years. We need Ivan Barbashev right now. So that was the trade, the prospect asset for the guy that could play right now. But like, you'd make that trade 100 times out of 100, not 99. If you're the Golden Knights, you look at that trade and say, paid dividends right away. They won the cup, and it's paid dividends ever since, and will continue to. Barbashev is... been tremendous.
Yeah. Oh, no doubt about it. And who knows how the 2023 postseason unfolds without Ivan Barbashev.
I got to find those numbers.
Yeah. Gary's going to dig into that. So you mentioned, Jack, that was number one on your list. Number two was Alex Pietrangelo. Asked him and asked several other players in recent days, what's an ideal number of preseason games? And it might slightly depend on who you're asking. For example, Tanner Pearson said, I'll play at all of them if that's what it takes. Brett Howden still trying to figure out a spot if he's going to play center, very much likely the case with Tanner Pearson and Keegan Kolesar as regular line mates in camp. But then if you're Alex Pietrangelo, or I asked Ben Hutton this question before the opener in San Jose, what's an ideal number? Probably three. And some of that is get one game in before the little break, and then get a couple of games in right before the regular season starts. In particular for Pietrangelo, Gary, how that works out with a new pair in Alex Pietrangelo playing with Shea Theodore.
Yeah. There was one play where they were both below the goal line in the offensive zone. Mm-hmm. And, you don't want that. You want it to be a little bit more of a swing, one guy up and one guy back. So that, they need to be communicating, and that over time they'll figure it out that, I'm going, and that means the other guy stays, right? There's got to be a little more of that. Or maybe Bruce Cassidy will say, no, you both go. The forwards, because on that play they had Mark Stone was back on one side, and I forget who was back on the other side. But Stone can, he can skate backwards, he can...
We hope.
You can shut. Well, you don't have to play D for the whole play.
Right, Because
both of those guys, Theodore and Pietrangelo, are great skaters. They're going to get back at some point.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah. Stone will defend with his moxie and his guile rather than his back skating. Yeah. But we can ask Bruce Cassidy about that. He's going to be joining us very shortly here on Nighttime at Noon, Gary.
Barbashev has collected 61 points in 105 regular season games for Vegas. 22 points in 27 playoff games.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
Yeah, you make that trade over and over and over and over again.
Indeed. So the Golden Knights, 3 games into their preseason, 3 games to go. They have 2 wins in 3 games. They'll play in Denver tomorrow, 6:30 start. Gary and I will have the radio play-by-play television broadcast on TNT. Before we get to Bruce Cassidy, we invite you to get ready to celebrate the 24-25 season in a new and interactive way. The Road to Puck Drop presented by NACVI Injury Law is here. From October 2nd to October 7th, you can uncover hidden prizes around the Las Vegas Valley as we celebrate the start of the 24-25 NHL season. Make sure to be following all the social platforms of the Golden Knights and NACVI Injury Law, as rules and clues for 24 prize locations will be posted on X and Instagram. Fans will be on the lookout for a puck after receiving the clues online. The scavenger hunt will include all sorts of prizes, including a grand prize. Get this, Gary. I don't know if you're eligible, but grand prize, $25,000. How about that? All from our friends over at NACVI Injury Law. Nighttime at noon continues next. It's a quarter past the hour. This is Fox Sports Las Vegas.
We're back to Nighttime at Noon on your home for the Vegas Golden Knights, Fox Sports Las Vegas.
Welcome back. It is 19 past the hour here in Las Vegas. Dan Duva, Gary Lawless. This is Nighttime at Noon. Mark your calendars, everybody, because the team's annual charity gala is back and better than ever. If you want a night of glamour, fun, and an opportunity to support our local community, then this is the event for you. A Golden Knights Gala will be held at Fontainebleau for the first time ever. Attendees will experience live entertainment as well as appearances by Golden Knights players, front office staff, and word is the head coach of the Golden Knights will be there too. Tickets are on sale starting at $500. Don't miss out on this dazzling night. For more information, head over to the VGK website, VegasGoldenKnights.com, and we'll see you there. Not only will the head coach of the Golden Knights be at the gala, he is also now joining us live in studio on Nighttime at Noon. He's Bruce Cassidy. Hi, Bruce.
Hi, Dan. How are you? Gary?
Hi, Bruce.
Good to be here. Good to have you with us.
Nice to be back upstairs here.
Yeah. It's a little quiet around the building right now because the team has had its little bonding trip, but they'll be back on the ice. How have you spent the last couple of days without practices or games to concern yourself with?
Well, we did a little work from the Utah game, so we're always kind of looking at stuff, still evaluating players, but mostly went out on a bike ride. The kids had a Hoka weekend, dances, pitchers, all that stuff, so I was chauffeuring people around. I went to the Golden Steer the other night. I'd never been there.
Really?
It was a nice experience.
What's the review?
The review's solid. Interesting when you first drive up, it's in a strip mall, so you're right away. I'm like, oh, yeah. I got to find a spot. But they saved me one. That was very nice, though.
Wow.
Have you been to Piero's?
I have.
So don't answer now, but very soon you will be in the hot seat for the VGK questionnaire. And one of the questions is Golden Steer or Piero's? Don't answer now.
Well, Piero's, I had went with some friends that knew one of the people that worked. Anyway, so turns out my daughter's good friends. They go to school together with her father. Her stepfather, sorry, owns the place. So I have an in.
Yeah.
Excellent.
And I've used it.
Yeah. Why not? What did
we
you get?
We went for Mother's Day, I believe it was.
Very
Julie's
nice.
Birthday. It was something occasion for her. And yeah, we had a good time. That's a nice spot, too. A lot of history there.
Yeah. What did you get at the Golden Steer?
I got a filet. What else did we have? We had some of the appetizers. We had the bone marrow they brought.
Yes,
over. The bones like the size of one of Dino's pals in the Flintstones too. It was so big, but it was excellent. Yeah,
wow.
Very busy.
There you go. Keeping things going with a couple of days, getting closer to the regular season. Well, with that, what are your takeaways from the first few days of what has been successful training camps? Three games, number of practices. What are the most important things the coaches see?
Attention to detail has been good. I think our structure shows in the shots against, chances against, goals against. It's something you want to bake in right away. I know we got a lot of returning defensemen, but you still got to review those things. I think the goaltending has been good. Discipline's been good in terms of how we're trying to play. Saw a little more offense the last game. Some stuff off the rush that started with good structure in the D zone and good work ethic. The second effort goal by Pav, you like to see that, you know, in a forecheck. And I think now you got to get the rust off the guys that haven't played a lot. That's what we'll use this week for, get them in a few more games. Hopefully keep building your game, stay injury-free, and get ready for the opener.
I'm interested in the, you know, I know that, you know, that you and Kelly McCrimmon have good open lines of communication, but at the end of the day, he's going to pick the roster. But you are the ones that are deciding how much ice time a guy gets during a game. So for Tanner Pearson and Tanner Lisinski, for instance, you know, you play a role in, you know, if or how do you decide whether how much ice they get and what situations to put them in? Is that come from conversations with you and Kelly, or someone's going in a game, they get to keep going?
No, we talk about it all the time. We talked about Pearson a little more because he's been in the league, and we're young on the left side, so he knew more about him than I did. So coming in, it's like, okay, let's play him. Let's just play him every night until we can make a decision or fatigue or something sets in. And so far, he's done that, and he's done it well. And where does he fit? Is he going up in the lineup, or is he better suited down with Kolasar as his winger and that type of role? And so far, so good. So I've played him. I think he's played well, and he's helped us win, and I think he can help us win going forward. Now, how that'll play out in the next week, I can't. You know, we still got half a training camp here left, but so that one is that's how that one's played out. And Lisinski's more we're thinking a depth guy. We like our strength down the middle. Turns out Carly's missed a few days of camp, so he gets a chance to go in, and he's done a good job. So if that were to happen, one of our skill guys goes down in the middle. Do you move Nick Waugh up? We did that last year. Or do you have to find two guys because maybe two are down? And Tanner has a little offensive moxie that maybe a Froese didn't have. He's more suited to going down in the lineup. So that's what we're looking at right now. And so he'll stay in the lineup because we want to get a good look at it. We just feel, excuse me, our younger guys, Brabanek, Sapolavic, they need a little more time to sort of master the American League, where Tanner's a little farther ahead in that regard. So that's how it's played out with those two guys.
We were talking about a play, and you'll remember this because I know you've got a photographic memory for the games. Both Theodore and Pietrangelo ended up behind the offensive goal line. And
that wasn't in the playbook.
It wasn't. So that's, I'm curious about that. Is you know, do you want it to be more traditional where if one goes, the other's back? Or...
Well, we are not going to be a positionless hockey team. You know, you hear, that's a term you hear a lot now. Yeah. I don't believe in that.
No Rovers.
I don't think you win that way. I don't think you're going to win that way. Mm-hmm. But let's see. Time will tell that. Situational hockey, that happens. Every once in a while, it could work out that way. And that's where you hope the other guys on the ice are mindful of that. And I think we're a very responsible team. We talk about pinch fill all the time, right? When a D pinches, a forward fills until he replaces them. So staying in on the battle is part of hockey. Now, do you want to be staying in on the battle 200 feet from your own net as defenseman? Well, you've got to be pretty sure you're going to have the puck and something's going to happen offensively for you, right? So we have given the players a certain amount of liberty to do that. It's just not something you're going to see very often and will happen, but it's probably the exception, certainly not the rule.
You did have two forwards back. Stone was back on the left side. I forget who was back on the right side, but there were... The forwards did the right thing.
And they will. And that's just part of plan. And again, it's preseason, too. I think you're more likely to see it in preseason. I think both Petro and Theo would tell you that regular season time and score situational hockey, they would probably manage that better. But they're trying to find their legs, trying to find a partnership with one another right now. So we might see a few funky things from them. That's okay. That's what training camp's for.
How'd you like Olofsson?
Liked his effort a lot away from the puck. He number of plays he disrupted with a stick, finds himself open in the slot. Face-off play had a quick look. A rush play, Barbie found him in the slot. He was off net, but found a crease in the middle of the ice. I like that he's getting some opportunities from the middle of the ice. Good play in the 3-on-1. Goalie makes a save on him. So there was a lot of good things in his game. Power play makes a nice play through the seam back up top on the tape to Petro. So he's making some plays where maybe earlier in camp we saw a lot of the shots, so now we're getting balance from that part.
And he had the third assist on the Barbashev goal that went Olofsson, Theodore, Eichel, Barbashev.
Yeah, I think everyone touched it. That's always good in the ozone when you get everyone in on the play.
Bruce, let me ask you about the word patience. With the number of new players, whether coming up or from other organizations, you've thought long about different combinations of defensemen, of forward pairs, even of forward lines. How much do you think about preseason as an experiment? How many of those experiments would you like to last into the regular season? Or, geez, you know what? We thought this would work on paper. We've seen it a couple of preseason games. We really want to go in a different direction.
Okay, so it's funny you talk about experiments, like chemistry, right? I think it was a Dion one day was asked by a reporter, like, your chemistry. I forget what it was. Dion said there was a question, and it's valid. It's like, he said, well, what is chemistry? Like, what is it? And to me, it's, I remember being in school, and you have your beakers in front of you, and you're doing experiments, and that's chemistry to me. So that's how you find out if you have chemistry. And you have to experiment. Nothing is just on paper. This is perfect. It's going to work. It doesn't work that way. So there's a lot of experimenting going on. How long do you stick with it, I think, is the second part of what you're saying. Well, that depends. Are you winning games? And maybe it's not, you're not getting what you want or seeing what you want yet. You know, are you still managing? Are you still functioning as a team, as a group? So I don't think you can throw guys together for one game and say, oh, this is going to work or not work. Yeah. So there is a little bit of that. Although, I mean, I've tried some things once and watched it once quickly and said, I just don't see the relationship, for the hockey IQs meshing, you know. So there's a little bit of that that goes on. So I don't have a great answer for how long you'd stick with it.
You'll keep watching.
You know, you're going to keep trying different things and keep – and then you'll talk to the players and say, hey, what's going on out there? And they're like, well, you know, we're real close. Just we're real close. Otherwise, it'd be like, geez, not much happening, you know. We're just not reading off each other. So usually the players will have an opinion on it. They're the ones – that know it best too, right? So if you trust their opinion, you can get away with it or stick with it even longer.
Yeah. You mentioned William Karlsson a few moments ago. Do you have any update on his status right now?
No, not yet. We're hoping to have him back later in the week, or this week, sorry. What are we, Monday today, on the ice. But until they get back from Montana, get word from the trainers, we'll see what how he's progressing.
I once dropped a glass beaker to postpone a chemistry quiz, a pop quiz that I was not ready for. They had to clean it up.
And crafty, clever.
That the bell rang before cleanup could be concluded.
Not nitrous oxide or something dangerous, I hope.
It's, shockingly, I was not prepared for the pop quiz when it actually took place at the start of the next class. What was your favorite subject in school?
I like math. I was good at math.
Yeah.
I hated English, yet I love to read now. That's weird, right?
When I was going to say,
16,
like,
17,
I know
18, all I read was the sports page.
Yeah.
Maybe the hockey news or, you know, stuff like that, magazines with, to do with sports. And then now I love to read. So I wish I had an appreciation for reading back then. So I probably would have been a better student in English and maybe a better participant in class. But that's the way it goes.
What was on your reading list over the summer?
What did I read? I'm reading a book called The Wager right now, which is a shipwreck in the late 1700s, early 1800s. The guy that wrote Killers of
the Summer.
Well. Yeah, it's very good, I heard. So far, so good. I'm about halfway through. Killers of the Flower Moon. Remember that?
Yep.
I read that a year ago. Same author, I believe.
Yep,
so,
yep.
The other one was The Demon of Unrest. Eric Larson, did you ever
read
his book?
Yes.
There's some history in there, too, that you have to slog through, but there's usually good stories, like if
Eric
you've read
Larson's
the
great. Yep.
Devil in the White City.
Yep.
And there's a number of them. So that was a good one because it was leading up to the Civil War. And being a Canadian, I didn't learn much about that in school in Canada. So it's kind of on your own reading type of thing. So I've tried to grab a few books in that kind of era.
Yeah. I know I've asked you this before, but you're very busy. You've got games, you've got practices, meetings, etc. How often and what do you do to kind of disconnect during the season?
Well, my kids keep me busy. Yeah. So you're now, even though it's hockey practice, I'm going to a lot, and sometimes I'll go on the ice. You're still disconnecting from your group and what's going on in your brain with your hockey club. So Shannon is golfing. I'll go watch her matches. I mean, I love golf, so I do read. Not a huge TV guy. SNL, thank God it's back on. I like that. That's great laughs.
Funny episode.
Completely disconnect from it.
Yeah.
That's it. I mean, I don't know if you ever really do in season.
Yeah.
Most coaches would probably tell you that. There's something going through your head. Never is your team in a perfect place where you can just, you know, flush everything and not think of something. I just think that's how coaches are wired. You're thinking about something, whether it's a line combination, a system adjustment, whatever.
You are pretty good at, like, you're one of the most intense coaches in the NHL, and you've talked about, you know, how that is part of who you are, and you have to try and control it at times. But after the game, you're pretty quick to, I remember we took the bus from Toronto to Buffalo, and you got on our bus for whatever reason that night instead of staying with the players where you normally are. And we were playing team must have won because we were playing music in the back of the bus. And then you came back and started, you wanted to hear Brandy. Yeah, that was your
Brandy.
Request.
You know who sings that? There's a little trivia question for you. Probably a one wonder kind of category.
Brandy, You're a Fine Girl.
Yeah, yeah,
what a good wife you would be. Yeah, I can't believe I'm forgetting this artist, but you're right. Not a
Looking Glass.
It's called, Looking Glass.
There you go.
Great song. Very. Yeah.
So back to the.
But you do flip the page pretty quickly.
Well, I think you can't let the whole game stay. You know what I mean? Like it's. See, coaches see mistakes a lot, right? We're always looking at the mistakes, and sometimes we forget the good things, right? Because we're always correcting. So yeah. I think sometimes you have to, over time, you learn that, you know, you're never going to play a perfect game. Usually when you win, you can forget about some of those things a lot quicker because it is, hey, it's a results-oriented business. You can play okay and win, and you can play great and lose. It probably bothers you more when you lose. So, but, yeah, I think we can do that. I probably was doing a little quality control check on the other bus to see what was going on after games, you know, keep things on the up and up.
That's what it was. That's not enough Pearl Jam on the bus, I guess.
There was no beer. We didn't have any beer. I remember that. And we might have had a pizza. There might have,
well, really? There's like eight pizzas sitting around the room every game we walk away from.
I know. So. They don't.
They don't make their way to here.
They don't make their way to our.
Well, they should because they're just. Well, I guess obviously the cleaning crew there at the rink's going to get some, you know, probably. But you guys should grab a few.
Somebody's got to be put in charge of that, I think.
Garrett Callaway.
There you go, Garrett. Shout out. The regular season is fast approaching. October 9th is the first game. Avalanche coming to town. So you've got three more preseason games. Whether you want to call them experiments, things you want to try, things you want to see, what do the next few days look like for you?
Well, you know, we're going to play. Our plan all along was play our team, our veteran guys, Thursday and Saturday, the end, tail end of camp. Avoid the travel day. It's a tough one, Colorado in and out, so you have to play a certain amount of guys. But in general, we'll try to, you know, get it as close to the finish line as we can with our full roster. I think most teams would tell you that. They try to do it that way, or they leave everyone out the last game, whatever, depending on how it plays out. But we have from Saturday to Wednesday, so I'd like them to play. There's plenty of recovery. So that's what it's going to look like. We'll get our team together here eventually. We were in three groups, and we're kind of down to two again for a day or two, and then back to our group by Wednesday or Thursday. With this trip, it's a bit of a bigger group today, a split group tomorrow, because some are going to Colorado. So there's not a lot of entire teaching when your group's split, right? I think it's hard to do that. So we'll try to get a little bit done today because everyone's there. Yet they've been off for 2 days. So as a coach, sometimes it's like, let's just skate. Let's get out there on the ice and get moving and then sort of do the mental stuff the next day. So that's what we're balancing the next few days.
Off we go to Denver tomorrow.
We won't ask you to comment, but we got to let the there's some drama going on in Boston with your old team. So we have to let the listeners. We're going to talk about that when we come back from the break.
Did you want to ask the Pierro's questionnaire before we go?
We got to save that. I want to wait till he does the whole quiz.
All right, you got to do the whole quiz. It's not just a couple of questions.
Quiz. Yeah,
we'll save that. By the way, did you watch the Eddie Vedder Bruce Springsteen conversation? I meant to ask you that. It was pretty cool.
No, somebody sent me a. One of Gosha's buddies sent me a link to Springsteen, but he's a Springsteen like tour guy. Like he's loves him and goes to a lot of the shows, but I don't think it had anything to do with Eddie.
It's in Bruce Springsteen's kitchen. It's Eddie Vedder and Bruce Springsteen sitting at the kitchen table and talking.
Are they eating or having a cup of coffee?
Just, I think they're just chatting.
All right.
Yeah, I'll send it to you. All right. There you go. That's Bruce Cassidy, head coach of the Golden Knights. Bruce, thanks.
All right. Thanks for having me, fellas.
Thanks, Butch.
Yep.
We have much more coming up on Nighttime at Noon, but first we could tell you Lee's Family Forum is a big part of that picture. If you can't get enough hockey, well, Lee's Family Forum is the place for you. Home of the Henderson Silver Knights, be able to get even more hockey. The team kicks off preseason hockey with a pair of home games against the Tucson Roadrunners October 4th and October 5th. Make sure to head over to hendersonsilverknights.com to get your tickets today. And just earlier this morning, the Silver Knights announced their training camp roster. So best wishes to everyone with the Henderson Silver Knights. Get your tickets, preseason hockey, hendersonsilverknights.com, October 4th and October the 5th. We'll take a timeout. More Nighttime at Noon when we return on Fox Sports Las Vegas.
Live from City National Arena, this is Nighttime at Noon on Fox Sports Las Vegas.
12:40 Pacific Time here on Fox Sports Las Vegas. Dan Duva, Gary Lawless, Studio 31 at City National Arena in downtown Summerlin. The regular season is fast approaching. A week from Wednesday, the Knights will host the Colorado Avalanche. That's October the 9th at T-Mobile Arena. Three more preseason games to come. Thanks again to Bruce Cassidy for stopping by and chatting. Gary, any takeaways from what you heard from the head coach in his little conversation, hockey or otherwise?
It sounds like he likes both Pearson and Lisinski.
Yeah.
And, Bruce is one of the best guys to – we've been blessed to have him here. He's great to talk hockey and anything else, and understands what we have to do and really makes sure that we get to do our jobs.
Yeah, he's very thoughtful, and it is really a pleasure getting to talk with him before every radio broadcast, and we chat for 5-6 minutes, sometimes more, and we have to cut it down because he just has so much to say, and a lot of it is hockey, but sometimes it goes to reading or Pearl Jam or some other sort of thing. But we appreciate that very much from Bruce. I did hear just the one little distinction that he makes between the Tanners, and that, of course, is the position that Tanner Lyzinski is more or less filling in for William Karlsson during his absence, and Tanner Pearson looks to be filling in a fourth-line left-wing role. So that's a little bit more looking forward, where he thinks they will fit. So while they have been both impressive, having appeared in all three preseason games, he did make that distinction. I like the comment with respect to experimentation and patience. I didn't think he was going to be too specific on any one pair or any one line, but you've got to see what these guys do, not in a vacuum, but in a game with a full NHL roster. And it's one thing for, say, Theodore and Pietrangelo to play together against, half of a Utah team, or, what you might see in a couple of regular season games. I was also interested in his admission that in his career he has just pulled the plug. I see something, I don't like it, this experiment is over, we're not doing that. And it doesn't sound like he's pulled the plug on any experiments so far and what he's put together this year.
No, and it's interesting to watch him during a game. What's the Mike Tyson expression? Everybody has a plan until you get punched in the mouth. Well, Bruce is not afraid to make changes on the fly. And it's one of the things that I think as a player you have to really like, that he will, give you rope to try and make something work. But he's out there to win every game. And in the moment, if it's not going and he needs to try something else, he will. And then he'll go back to often halfway through a period, things aren't clicking, he'll change the lines. Next period will start, and it's the lines that started the game. Which is, I think it's a player that must be, he must be fun to play for in that respect. I know Bruce is demanding, and players have told us that. And in a game, for instance, like he talked about as a coach, you see mistakes. You do. And as a broadcaster, we're upstairs, and the game is really slow and really easy. You can see when a guy makes a mistake. You can see the mistake before it happens often. And you have to, a GM once told me, he said, you watch the same player over and over again, you see their warts. You have to step back every once in a while and see the good things as well, which is, that's, I'm sure the good evaluators are able to do that. And I'm sure Bruce is able to do that as well, because we haven't seen him bury a player.
No,
there hasn't been a player where he just said, I'm not playing that guy. And even if the player was in the lineup, he didn't get opportunity.
Which is very different than shortening the bench. Game dictates the situation. Yeah, but sure. The way you put it, I don't recall a single instance.
No, he hasn't done that. Now, Kelly McCrimmon has given him really good players.
Yeah, that's a good part.
Just go back to Michael Amadio.
Yeah.
And how that first 6 months of those two guys together, there were times when his ice time would get diminished, but then he'd be in the lineup the next night and his ice time would be good. And if he was doing the things that Bruce needed him to do, the ice time stayed. And then by the end of the season, he scores a massive goal in Winnipeg in round one.
Yeah. Overtime. Yep.
Uh-huh. And then, is a really important piece for the Vegas Golden Knights as they go to win the Stanley Cup. Like, the depth guys that year, it's hard to call Barbashev a depth guy because he was playing with Eichel and Marchessault by the end of all that, but Howden scores big goals. Obviously, they got Amadio, who we just talked about. The whole fourth line was good.
All the goaltending.
The goaltending, and then Hag and Whitecloud out there playing huge and important minutes late in games against, you know, which allowed all 6D to be involved, and, you know, Pietrangelo had lots of steam when everything was said and done that year.
Yeah, last thing on Bruce Cassidy to that point, Gary, just the communication. You know that he's having conversations with leadership players. You know, who do you think works here? What's happening? And just going back to when he started with the Golden Knights, the conversation he had with Jack Eichel over the summer before Bruce ever coached a game here, and how they're basically going to be tied together. And then even more recently, after the second preseason game, Bruce, without naming a name, pointed out there was a player who had a long shift.
Yeah.
And that was addressed afterwards. We don't do that here because you put your next line at a bad spot, et cetera, et cetera. And that sort of communication, it seems to me, is part of his attributes. You mentioned to Bruce there is some news from his old stomping grounds in Boston.
Yeah.
That's bubbling up a little bit. What's the latest from Beantown?
Well, so Jeremy Swayman, who is their number one goaltender, has not signed a contract and is not at training camp. And there has been, you know, Boston is a fervent hockey market. The Spit and Chicklets guys got involved in it, and Don Sweeney kind of took a swipe at them recently, saying he wasn't going to talk specifics, and some of the stuff that was out there just wasn't right. Well, then Cam Neely is asked today about Swayman's ask, and he said, I'm not going to go into the weeds on his ask. What I will say is, there are 64 million reasons why I would be playing. So he's clearly stating that they have offered Swayman an 8-year contract, which is the maximum length, at an AAV of $8 million. Now, that's Cam's side of the story. We don't know what has been offered to Swayman, but the president of the team is saying we've offered him 8x8. So what does that do? That tells everyone in Boston, hey, we've offered this guy $64 million and he still won't report. So it puts the player in a terrible place. And depending on the individual, some people would take that and go, oh, that's the way you're going to play it. Well, I'm not signing for that. And even if I was going to get to that number at some point in time, I'm not getting there now. So, like this could really, to me, this is an experienced guy like Cam Neely. This is a faux pas.
Yeah, curious choice to go public in the way that he did.
Yeah.
Knowing how an arbitration, naturally, the team is going to say, listen, you don't deserve as much. Yeah. And in so doing, you say, you're not as good as these other people. And for a young goalie like Swayman, does that affect him mentally? You don't want to hear your organization comparing you in a non-positive light. And now here is another negative signal that's coming from the Bruins, to be determined, I suppose. But Bruins have said, Jim Montgomery has said, it's now too late in the process for Swayman to even start the opener. He wouldn't be ready even if he came in today. So that is an ongoing situation.
So they're putting pressure on him. It's almost like this was orchestrated.
Yeah.
You know, the head coach is going to say this. The president is going to say that. And the one guy who didn't say anything, Don Sweeney, is the guy that, you know, is probably on the phone right now with a less than happy Lewis Gross, who is the agent for Jeremy Swayman.
Interesting. We'll take another timeout. When we come back, we've got a few more news and notes to get to and get you ready for the start of Vegas, Colorado. They're going to play 3 of the next 4 games, 2 preseason, 1 regular season, against the Avalanche. We'll be right back at 10 to the hour. This is Nighttime at Noon on Fox Sports Las Vegas.
We're back to Nighttime at Noon on your home for the Vegas Golden Knights, Fox Sports Las Vegas.
Hi, everybody. 12:53 Pacific time. Nighttime at Noon continues from Studio 31 at City National Arena in Summerlin. Hockey season is back, which means it's time for the 2024 Fan Fest. Join the Golden Knights on Sunday, October the 6th, 11 a.m. in downtown Summerlin. Ring in a new season with all your favorite players, coaches, broadcasters and cast, get ready for an afternoon of free family-friendly fun, including games and a chance to win tickets to a Golden Knights game. This year's Fan Fest is presented by Toyota. Again, it is Sunday, October the 6th, 11 a.m. We can't wait to see you there. There it is, Fan Fest 2024, presented by Toyota. Final minutes of our program today. Dan Duva, Gary Lawless here. Gary, a few other items to touch on before we sign off for the day. First, noting that the Knights will have a practice here at City National Arena at 2:30, back from their team bonding trip. They're in action tomorrow, 6:30 Pacific time, start against the Avalanche, preseason game 4. Elsewhere, a former Western Conference foe, now in the Eastern Conference, scary collision and injury, Patrick Laine.
Yeah, he showed up at the Canadiens' practice facility today on crutches, which is terrible news for him and for the Canadiens. You know, they traded for him this offseason. Guy has been a big-time goal scorer at points in his career, has had some injury issues the last couple of years, and then also some mental health issues. Seemed like he was happy and enjoying things in Montreal. Cedric Paret stuck out his knee. And
this is in the Montreal-Toronto game, yes, a few nights ago.
Yeah, and then Arbor Jacki went after Paret. Paret would not drop his gloves, so Jacki kept his on and was punching him repeatedly with the glove on. He got the maximum fine.
Suspended, though.
No, you know, it's interesting. Friedman suggested, Elliot Friedman, on the 32 Thoughts podcast, that if Laine had of, you know, got up and skated away, and Jacki had done that to Paret, Jacki would have been suspended. But because Laine was hurt, then they weren't going to suspend Jacki. I don't agree with that. I don't think the two things connect for the Department of Player Safety. I could be wrong. Really unfortunate incident. And the one thing that Elliot said that I thought was very fascinating was it's up to the players, it's the player's responsibility to make sure he doesn't hurt someone else in the preseason.
All right, there is the latest from the insider, Gary Lawless. We will talk to you again tomorrow as the Knights visit Colorado Avalanche. Pregame show at 5:30, play-by-play at 6:30 for Vegas and Colorado. First of three meetings in just about a week's time, two in the preseason and one, of course, in the regular season. As we sign off, big thanks to everybody who was instrumental in today's broadcast, from Ron Paul to Jeff to Gordon to Amber, Lexi, everybody behind the scenes, and, of course, Ruben pushing all the right buttons back in our studio. For Golden Knights insider Gary Lawless, Dan Duva saying,